Grief is a natural part of life, and we all experience it at some point. By becoming aware of our emotions in the process of grief, we can begin to accept and move through our pain. Acceptance doesn't mean that we forget or stop feeling the loss, but it allows us to come to terms with it. And finally, we can choose to honour our loved ones by celebrating their life and finding meaning in our grief. Join me as we explore these pillars of grief and how they can help us navigate the journey of grief. We will explore this journey together, and you will hear from experiencers, experts, and researchers. I'm Jock Brokas, and this is The Pillars of Grief. Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Let me ask you a question. Can you be married on the other side, in the afterlife? Is marriage an institution there? And what happens if you've lost a loved one, whether it's your wife or whether it's your husband, and you want to find another partner? What about marriages in the gay community? Is that in the afterlife? Or has that even ever been in history? When we come right back, we're going to jump into this because this is a question that I get asked all the time. And so now we're going to jump into whether you can be married in the afterlife or not. When we come right back, we're going to get right into it. God bless. Are you struggling with grief? Hi, I'm Jock Brokas, a grief researcher, author, spiritual mentor, and renowned evidential medium. Join me on the Pillars of Grief podcast. Through personal teachings and interviews with experienced researchers and educators, I will provide valuable insights and support to help you navigate your journey through grief. I will answer the questions you yearn to be answered, and I'll help you understand your journey. Listen and subscribe to the Pillars of Grief podcast today on your favorite platform and start navigating your journey through grief. Well, good morning, my friends. So, as you heard from the little intro there, we're going to jump right into that big question. First of all, thank you for joining me. My name is Jock. I am the host of Pillars of Grief. I am an evidential medium. I'm a grief researcher and also a paranormal researcher. And so in this, and I get these questions all the time. People ask me all the time in my work, what about my loved one? I've lost my husband. I've lost my wife. Will I be still married to them in the afterlife? Will I be connected with them? Wait a minute. I've found someone here and I feel really guilty about perhaps moving on and dating. And this causes a great deal of anxiety, right? This really causes a massive amount of anxiety. And people find that they can't move on because they think that if they do move on, they're dishonoring their loved one on the other side. And I also get this as well, especially in the LGBT community. Are we married in the afterlife? What about gay unions and gay marriages? And are we judged? And I get that all the time as well. And so I thought I'd jump into this episode because it's really important. And hopefully I can basically skim through a little bit because this is so in depth and there's so much to cover. I will be doing this in a class within our community, community app. And so if you're not a member of that community, then message us and we can get you into that community. You just need to be grieving and, you know, be grieving within the last few years or so. And, you know, you can come in and join that community and take part in the classes that we have. So I'm going to dive into this. So let me just put one thing right out there, right from the very beginning. Marriage is an institution that was instigated by man. It's not something that exists essentially in the afterlife. And we'll jump into that a little bit later. But let's just talk a little bit about marriage, right? The earliest historical date from anthropologists of anything that was similar to marriage was about 4,500 years ago, 4,350 years ago, to be exact. And anthropologists posit that families were all in groups. You know, there was up till about 30 or even more people in a family. And the male leaders shared the women. And that was kind of how, the family kind of came about. And the earliest date of anything that was a real evidence of a marriage was actually 2,350 years before Christ, and it was in ancient Mesopotamia. That was the earliest connection that we ever have, or that anthropologists have ever had, to marriages. So that tells you that it's not something that was a divine institution, and we'll come back to that, and I'll explain that a little bit more from an afterlife perspective, from a perspective as a medium as well, and having information from the other side. So marriage then, after that time in Mesopotamia, began to get embraced. It was embraced by the Greeks, by the Hebrews, by the Romans, and it had nothing to do with love. Love came later, and it was said that love came into it really from the French. And the Institute of Marriage, Love in Marriage, was kind of that Romeo and Juliet, or the knights, you know, King Arthur's knights with the knight and I can't remember what her name was, but Lancelot and whoever it was, I can't remember. But the reality here is that it was never really done for love. That was later. What it was done for was to make sure the woman was bound to the man. And the reason was that was so the offspring, the children, was guaranteed to be the man's child. And so that is how the kind of idea of then that marriage came up. Now, as we move on in history from the time after Christ and move on, then you have the religious institutions that brought it in. Primarily, is, and I could be wrong, but I believe it was really the Roman Catholic Church that really brought in the institution of the blessing within the union, blessing within the marriage. And then it became accepted as something that was in God's grace. It was something that was accepted by Christianity as a binding between heaven and earth, and it was a grace of God. So the reality is that we had this idea of marriage way before, and then it came down, of course, politics, governments, whatever it is, take control of everything as they always do. And you had the same in religion. You had the same with the Catholic Church. It was then accepted in the Catholic Church. I don't know about the dates, but it was accepted in the Catholic Church and became integrated into canon law. And I think it was in the 15th century. I actually don't really know for sure. And maybe that's something that I need to research and dive into. But the reality was that the Catholic Church accepted it because then there was control within the family unit, and there was control within the offspring. They could see what it was, and then the ceremony from the Catholic Church was brought into play. And then, of course, it was taken on board by the Orthodox religions and other religions, and they took it on board. Now, I don't know if in indigenous tribes there was anything that was like that. So after the Catholic Church got control of this whole idea of marriage, later on in the Middle Ages is when we have the essence of love, when love came into it. And as I said, you know, I think that kind of was back to Europe, right? Back to the knights, King Arthur, and them times where love was kind of like an institution. That's how it was brought into marriage. Now, here's the other thing. In fact, you know, here's the other thing before we jump into the whole thing of the afterlife. So for all of you out there that are in the LGBTQ, I don't even know if I'm saying that right, actually, the LGBTQ community, and who are normally attacked by so many religions, or who are attacked by people who have got ignorance of the fact, actually there was gay marriage. There was gay marriage, and right way back in Emperor Nero's time in Rome. And again, I'm not a historian, but I believe that back in Rome, there were gay marriages. Apparently, Nero married men. And I'm trying to think. There was something that was entered into in Roman law about same-sex unions. And then, of course, it was mocked by governments or by religions who were, again, trying to place control. But the emperor was happy and took him in. Now, it's not just Nero that was married to man. There's other people in history which I don't know, and you, those of you in the LGBTQ community will know that there's been historically facts of same-sex unions way back in those times, way back in the Middle Ages, and way back in the time of just, you know, after Christ, or I think it was 50 years after the dates of Christ. Again, I'm not sure, but certainly, I don't know when Emperor Nero's time was, but certainly he did marry men, and so That institution existed as well. But here is the thing, ladies and gentlemen, that all of you out there, if you've lost a loved one, should know. The very fact that marriage really was an institution brought on by man tells you that it was brought on again even before Christianity and religion. This was a method of control, and this was a method of organizing, as I just mentioned. Marriage does not exist in the world of spirit. And in actual fact, in the Bible, Jesus actually affirms this. And I can't remember the quote, but it does actually affirm this. So marriage doesn't exist on the other side of life. You have to think of things as mainly a union. So what does that mean then if you're married on the earth plane and then, you know, your loved one crosses over and then you feel really guilty about the perhaps that you're moving on? Well, here's the reality from the spirit world. Here's reality from what we know on the other side, is that marriage, we can think of it as a marriage in the afterlife, but it's not really. It's a union, and it's to do with the soul. Okay, so if we break it down, there's a soul union, and then there's the bodily union in the earth plane, right? So there's two types of these unions. Now, in the afterlife, if you have a soul union, and that soul union is also replicated in the earthly realm, which means, okay, you were really bound by the soul. You were vibrationally matched on a soul level. There was no issues in your development of the soul. You both basically mimicked and had that same, not only vibrational element, but the same makeup and everything. Was that, then that union will never, ever go asunder. That union is bound by love. The soul is bound by love, right? Love being a very powerful force in divinity and in the universe. I don't like to use that term, universe. But that means that if you were bound and your soul is bound by love, that will continue on the other side. Now, that doesn't mean that if you love someone on this earth plane and they cross over and, you know, that you go over, you've met someone else and you go over there, that you're going to be bound and they're going to be angry. It doesn't work like that, because we have soul unions. There's many different souls within a group or a collective, if you like. I mean, even using the term a cohort, if you like. So if the union is of the soul and it's vibrationally matched in all ways, as above, so below, in heaven, on earth, then you'll still be bound in union, not marriage. There is no marriage in the other side. Marriages don't exist. It is a soul union. But what does that mean then on the earth plane? Well, of course, I just told you that the history of marriage is man-made. It's not something that came from divinity. It's not something that came from divine law. It doesn't really, it's man's law, okay? A union is a separate thing. And obviously, religion has tried to control this. Okay, so in this world, you are bound, and it's a bodily union. You meet someone, there's an attraction, you have a similar vibration, but not necessarily soulmates, not necessarily on that respect, right? But could be a bodily union. Obviously, you produce offspring, you have a life together, and you're learning. Everybody's, you're together and you're learning, you're developing each individual identity. Each individual person has their own identity. Their soul has their own identity. But on this bodily union, you are developing yourself and your partner is developing themselves and you're learning, you're spiritually growing. That's not necessarily the same as that union on the other side, right? So people come into your life for a reason and a season. If you get divorced from someone, it feels bad at the time, but you have to think about the things that you learned. What did they teach you? What did you teach them? It was meant to be in that moment, but it's not the same. It's not that soul union on the other side of life. So if there is a bodily union, there can be differences. And when you cross over to the other side, you will still meet your loved one. You will still be connected with them. You will still have a relationship to that level, but it wouldn't be a soul union because you were joined, you were together as a bodily union on this world for a reason and a season. So what does that mean then? It means that
guys, you don't have to be worried about whether it's right to date someone after you've lost a loved one. And I can tell you right now, ladies and gentlemen, they will not judge you, because when they're on the other side, they're learning things, they're developing, they understand the differences between the soul growth, the soul union, and then what is on the material world. So I can say to you, whether you're gay, straight, you know, whether it's a same-sex marriage, whether you've met someone and you've lost a husband or a wife and you're looking for companionship and maybe you want to, you know, see how things go, it's not wrong. And you don't need to feel guilty. You can date, even though your loved one is gone. And if you don't want to date and you want to try and honour their memory just because it's in your mind, it's not governed by divine law. It's only governed by your own perceptions and expectations. It's your choice. You have that choice. You can choose to just stay on your own until you cross over and not meet anybody else. But if you do, there's nothing wrong with it. Your loved one is not going to judge you. And in fact, of all the readings and everything I've done in the past with so many, many people, there's never once been a judgment that's come from the other side when someone's moved on and met someone else. I once read for a widow who was a military widow, her husband had committed suicide, and she didn't know how to do this. She didn't know how to deal with it. She didn't know how to move on. She felt so guilty about maybe meeting someone else, and she did meet someone else. And the beautiful thing was is that during a sitting, she came through and he was delighted that he had met someone. There was no judgment. He did not want to hold her back. Your loved ones on the other side love you. They want you to experience the best a life can experience. And so they're not going to come through and be angry with you and start to judge you from the other side, because that just doesn't happen. Remember what I said. There is a soul union on the other side. Marriage does not exist in the spirit world. A lot of people might argue with me, and I'm sure there's a lot of gurus out there who will argue with me, but I can tell you from my experience, if you like, and from my communications on the other side, there is no marriage on the other side. It's a union. Man has made it. I've already told you about the history of it. Man made marriage. Religion controlled marriage to control the people. You have the bodily union on this side. And then you have the spiritual union, the soul union on the other side. And it can exist, as I said, it can exist on this side. You can meet someone who is a soulmate on this side. I have with my wife, Joanne, absolutely. And I know that when we go over, we'll be together. So if you're out there and you find it really difficult to deal with the fact that you want to move on, but you feel that you're not honouring your loved one's memory by doing that, please don't cause yourself any suffering. It's not true. It's not true. You can meet someone. You can move on. You can date them. You could even marry them if you want. I've known people who have lost loved ones, husband and wife, and they get married a few years later. I know a friend of ours in Orlando who's still, you know, very close to her husband on the other side, but yet she's married three times since. And actually, in one of those weddings, I was the minister that joined them together. And I went through the whole counselling phase and understanding this and explaining the union, et cetera, et cetera. So I can tell you, ladies and gentlemen, that you feel free to go out and date. Feel free to look to your future with someone else. Just remember, that does not change the connection you have with your loved one on the other side. The love bond is not destroyed, right? It's just that there's not a soul union there. There's not I don't even like to use the way the soul mate thing, you know, people talk about, because that's so misunderstood. So many, you know, spiritual teachers or even New Age practitioners that talk about this, and they don't really understand what that means. Really, from divine, remember we have divine law, and you can't beat divine law, right? Man's law does not trump divine's law. right? Divine law is how the world operates, how the spirit world operates, how the heavens operate. There's no way that you can circumvent it or, you know, get around it, negate it. You can't do that, right? So in this world, we have man's laws, and you're free. You're free. There's no judgment. You're free to date. You're free to meet someone else. And you can still hold the memory of your loved one. You can still communicate with your loved one. You can still tell them you love them. They will understand that you're moving on. Because who in the right mind, what loved one on the right mind wants you to be a lonely spinster? What loved one on the right mind will say, no, you don't meet anybody. I'm going to haunt you. I used to laugh with me. Joe would say, you know what, you know, if I cross over first, you cross over first, I'm going to haunt your ass. You don't meet anyone. That's a bit of fun, right? But we don't necessarily believe that to be true, right? Because we know that there's separate types, and marriage don't exist on the spirit world. It's a soul union. It's a union, right? And that's the best way I can describe it. And I'm sure on the other side, there's probably even a better description, and I won't know that until I go over there. I won't understand that until I go over there. So don't hold yourself back, ladies and gentlemen. Whether you love, you're a man who loves a man, a woman who loves a woman, don't let anybody tell you that that's wrong. Whether you've lost a husband or a wife and you're holding yourself prisoner because of everybody else's perceptions and expectations, to hang with it, right? If you meet someone, you know, and you talk to someone and you make a connection, there's nothing wrong with you having another bodily union on this side, or let's change that term, because, you know, maybe that can sound a little bit, you know, if it's a kind of sexual thing, but let's say you have a material union. All right, just let's say you have a material union. So you meet someone and you have a material union. Okay, nothing wrong with that. Your loved ones are not going to judge you. Even if you have offspring with another person, does not break the connection that you have for your loved ones on the other side, and they will not judge you. They cannot go on the spirit world and live in a world of judgment and hatred unless they were in lower realms of spirit. If they're over in the spirit world at the right vibration, where heavenly realms, whatever you follow, whatever you believe, they're not going to hold animosity, they're not going to hold judgment on you. So, my last thing to say to you, you've met someone. If you've lost a husband or a wife and you've met someone now and you want to move on in your life and still experience everything that this life gives you and to learn and to grow and to develop, it's not wrong. Go on your next date and have fun with it. Ask your loved one on the other side, you know, what do you think of him or her? Give me a sign. You know, do you like them? Do you not like them? What do you think? Because they'll help you on the other side. They'll help you to find someone. They'll bring someone close to you that they want to. They're not going to hold you back in life, because that is against divine law. And they cannot do that. Ladies and gentlemen, if you have any questions at all, reach out to me. I'm happy to chat to you. I'm happy to help you. I get questions all the time, and this has come up. You wouldn't believe it. This question has come up to me God knows how many times. Even people that I've read from the past still ask me, is it all right? Is it all right? I've met this person. What do you think? It's not for anybody else to judge. Remember, when people are judging, they're judging. They have no right to do it. They can't look at their own lives, but they can actually judge other people. And even in religions. So, you know, and as I said at the beginning, I don't know all the history. I know a little bit about it because I've studied this in the past. You're not destroying the memory of your loved one by moving on. God knows, you know, divine spirit wants you to be happy, and your loved ones on the other side want you to be happy. And if you've found happiness in the arms of another person, then so be it. It's such a beautiful thing. Even in the material world, it's such a beautiful thing. And when you cross over, you're not going to have to face up. You're not going to have to face it. You're not going to be judged on the other side where, you know, there's an angel, a guide or whatever else. Say, oh my God, you did this and you went against your husband or your wife. It doesn't happen, right? And remember, there is no marriage on the other side of life. It is a union. Marriage is man-made. and check out the history yourself. It's not something that was over there. So thank you for joining me, ladies and gentlemen. It's a hard thing to take on board. I understand that a lot of you are suffering from it and you're terrified to actually find any happiness in your life because you think you're going to be judged or because you think the other side is not, your loved one on the other side is going to do it. And it's not true. But I understand that. I understand that. Now, if you want to come in and take part in the classes in our community, then just message me or go onto my website, jockbrokers.com, and you will find the application to join our community. Come in. It's free. It's the only stipulation is that you have to be grieving. And it's not open for mediums. It's not open for spiritual teachers to come and get clients and anything like this. This is a community of support, of education, and it's not even on Facebook. It's totally out of there. So come and join us and take part in our events, take part in our support classes, and that's where you can ask me any questions because you'll have direct access to me. Now, what's coming up now for Pillars of Grief? Well, I've got my friend coming back on and we're going to talk about another aspect of grief, Dr. Charlson Gaines. I also have another few people coming on, an author, a great book that she wrote actually, which I don't have, it's through my I think not the grieving brain, but the awakened brain, okay? She's coming on. We're going to be talking about that as well. I've got some other guests coming on. One of my co-hosts is going to be joining me soon. We're going to be talking about her grief and also for the COVID aspect, people who lost people in COVID. So I'm looking forward to that. I'm looking forward to having Jill on with me. Jill also runs a community with me. Lovely, lovely person. Looking forward to having her there. And also, I'll be bringing on other people to chat to us, and a great friend of mine who just went to Everest with the memory of his son. He lost his son and just lived and did a beautiful thing when he was over there. He had some cameras. His guide that was taking him was really taken aback from his camera and the pictures he was taking, and he had a spare DSLR over there with him, and he was like, you know what, Jock, life is too short, and he gave the family the camera for them with lenses and everything, and brilliant. And so I'm really looking forward to chatting to Mike. He's probably reaching the next town now. He's been at base camp. He's did the thing else. I'm going to put some pictures up in our community. And that was a great thing that he did. He's going to come on and he's going to be chatting with us as well. So Pillars of Grief, thank you. Make sure you sign up. Make sure you subscribe. Make sure you ask questions. Go on to my website, and if you want to ask me a question, then connect with me there, or you can send me an email or anything like that. Or even if you're watching the video on YouTube, send me a message. I will get it. And if you really like the podcast, please give us a review. We've only done a few episodes. It's a fairly new podcast, but it would mean so much. This is here to help people. It's coming from a different angle, completely different angle from what I would normally do. But I've been researching and involved in grief work for many, many, many years and deep experience from my many losses myself. So you're in good hands and you will be in a great community when you come and join us. Ladies and gentlemen, have a beautiful day. Say a prayer for your loved one. Say a prayer for yourself. Say a prayer for those people in need. And let me know if you've gone out and dated and how it was. And after you listen to this, how it made you feel and how it maybe you felt like you had permission to move on. God bless. Thank you for tuning in to the Pillars of Grief with me. If you've found this podcast helpful, please consider subscribing so that you never miss an episode. Also, leaving a review can help others find the show and receive the guidance they need on their journey through grief. I appreciate your feedback and look forward to hearing from you all. Join my free online support community for those grieving and connect with others who understand what you're going through. I offer you a spiritual blessing and hope you will join me on the next episode. Till then, open your mind and allow the power of the divine to transform your grief to spiritual realization. God bless.